Well, I'm glad you're here. We're in our first lesson on our series, our new series called People. And it's going to be an insightful lesson. I believe it's going to help you. I believe you're going to learn a lot. You're going to hear a lot and be refreshed a lot. A lot of the stuff we already know, it just needs to be reiterated and reverberated in our spirit. So we're going to be talking about a lot of things. People that we are around, people that influence our lives, people that we push up, people that push us up. And so we're going to be talking about these things over the next several weeks. People. Today what I want to talk about is people you associate. Different people in our lives that we associate and that influence our lives. So I think it's extremely important. I don't think we recognize the power of associations as much as we should and as much as we ought to. Jesus spent all night long praying about who he would associate with. He would minister to people, but the people that he spent his quality time with were people that he made sure that he had prayed about, and they were going to help him get to where he wanted to go in his life. And when you're around successful people, you're successful. Successful people hang out with successful people. When you're around successful people, they incite you to do something. They encourage you. They cause you to be successful. The opposite is just as true. When you're around defeated people, when you're around people who feel like they've been victimized, when you're around gossiping people, when you're around discouraged people, when you're around unsuccessful people, then you will be unsuccessful. You will be exactly like the people with which you associate. You cannot change it. That's just the way it's going to work. Now, I want to show you this. It's in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, emphasis being on be. You will be like the people that you're around. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 20 says this: He that walketh with wise men, he that associates with, he that walketh with wise men shall be what? Be wise. If you're with wise people, you live a wise lifestyle, you live with people who do it correctly, then that's what you're going to be. Then he goes on, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You get around foolish people, they live a foolish life, they live in destruction, they live in this poverty mentality, this victimized mentality, then that's what you will be. You cannot avoid it. You cannot help it. And so what I'm going to be asking you to try to do over the next several weeks, and specifically today though, looking at people with which you associate. People that you're around, because they will determine your future. You need to ask, and it's not difficult. You can do it right there while you're listening to me right now. Who do you associate? Is this what you want to be? Ask these questions. Do I want to be like this person? Ask this question. Do I really like their qualities? Ask this question. Do they inspire me to reach higher? Or do they drag me downward? Ask this question. Do they have a vision for their life? Are they settling for just a so-so foolish life? Are they wasting their life away? Because this is so important. It's profound when you look at it, because this is what the Lord wants us to understand. And we seldom recognize and realize the profoundness of people that we associate. We think we can be around anybody and hang out with them and we'll be okay. No. It's poisoning you. It will ruin your life if you get around wrong people. But on the opposite end of the spectrum, if you get around the right people, they will take you to success. And the Bible is extremely clear in who we should not associate. It's extremely, and I want to give you three or four of these right quick. Like, it's Bible's full of it, but I want to show you just three or four real quick. Like, Proverbs chapter 22 verse 24 says this: Make no friendship with an angry person, angry man. Make no friendship with him, and with a furious infernoed, a hot person. Thou shalt not go. Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare in your soul, in your mind, in your spirit, in your soul. Don't let that get into you. If you get around them, that's what's going to happen. Perhaps you have a friend who has a hot temper. He's always exploding, or she's always exploding, yelling at the wife, or yelling at the husband, or yelling at the children, or yelling at the boss, and just exploding and going off. And they've been this way for years and years and years. You need to avoid this person. If you do not, it's going to get you. And you're going to find yourself exploding with your spouse, exploding on your children, exploding at work. You're going to one day just explode, and you're going to quit your job, and you're not going to have a job, and nobody's going to hire you. And it will bring you to a destroyed life. The Bible says, avoid these people. Do not make friends with an angry or a furious person. Let me show you another one. It says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 9, a lazy person has trouble all through life. The path of the upright is easy. Now, I think most of us adults know the necessity of not being lazy. But what I really want to talk to is sort of you younger adults and you students. Listen, don't hang out with lazy people not going anywhere. Don't hang out. Don't make friends. Don't walk with, talk with, set with. Don't walk with people that aren't going anywhere. People that are bucking the system. People that are rebelling against their parents and saying all rough things to their parents and in rebellion. Stay away from these people. Listen, it's not cool to be rebellious. Right. It's dumb. It's stupid. Right. Sorry, parents. It's not smart to be rebellious. For those of you who don't know, some of the parents have asked me not to use the term stupid. So there we go. But at any rate, it's not wise. You need to stay away from those kinds of people because they're going to cause you to be rebellious. You're going to find yourself smart talking your parents. You're going to find yourself getting in trouble at school. You're going to find yourself rebelling against authority. And listen, that's not good. That's going to take you down. I want to tell you, you know, we have, like in school especially, we think about the most popular. And so we want to have the most friends. I want to tell you, listen, it's the quantity of your friends is not what's important in life. The quality of friends is what's important in life. I would rather have one friend taking me onward and upward into a successful life than 25 friends just sitting still and not doing nothing and actually taking me backwards. So we want to look at that. We're angry people. We want to stay away from foolish people. Here's you another one. And Proverbs, here's two in this one. Proverbs 16:28 says, a perverse person stirs up dissension. Perverse. Perverted. And a gossip separates close friends. Now, I think we all understand staying away from perverted people. But our society, I mean, just think where our society has come in the last 20 years with perversion. We have gotten numb to it. But why? It's because we're associating with it. It's no longer like wrong to be perverted. In fact, the more perverted you are, it seems the more you're accepted. Well, the Bible says don't do that. So we understand perversion, but at the same time, it talks there about a gossip. Now, some of you may go to lunch, for example, with people that you consider your friends, and you're sitting there and you're listening, and you know you shouldn't be talking about people or talking about negative things, but you're sitting there, and they begin to talk. And so they start talking about their jobs, they start talking about their work, and you thought you had a pretty good place to work until you start hearing them talk about their work, and all of a sudden you begin to think, well, you know what, maybe it's not so good where I work. And you start talking about your boss and talking about the people that work with you. And you were happy with work, but now you wonder. Or they start gossiping. They start talking about this person doing this and that person doing that. And they start talking about people. And to start with, you know you shouldn't be talking about people. So you just sit there and sort of listen. And then you start wanting to go just to get the next little tidbit. What's the next little bit of information I can get about this or about that? And before long, you find yourself going home and saying, did you know that he? Did you know that she? And you become a gossip. And when these things begin to happen in our lives, I'm telling you, it takes the blessings of God away from us. You cannot expect blessings in your life if you're hanging around, walking with, and associating with the wrong people. I want to show you. And you may say, well, Delbert, they're my friends, and I just want to hang out with them. You know, I just like being there. I don't say anything. I just hang out there. I just there. I just listen. That's just as bad. In fact, it could be worse. Well, would you sit there and just listen to a little poison? Would you just sip just a little poison? Well, this is what's happening to you. When you're sitting there, you're being poisoned, and you would not sit there and sip just a little poison. It's going to damage your liver. It's going to damage your kidneys. It's going to damage your internal organs. Well, this is what's happening to you in the realm of the spirit when you're sitting there just listening to this stuff. Don't be around. Don't get in the presence of this stuff any more than you just need to. I'll balance all this in just a second, but let me show you this in the scriptures. In Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1, it says this: blessed is the person, the man, the woman, who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Don't listen to it. Don't let wicked people, don't let these crazy people tell you how to live your life. The counsel. Do not, he says, blessed is the person who does not stand in the way of sinners. Don't just stand there and listen to it. Blessed is the person who does not sit in the seat of mockers. I just sit there. Well, you're losing your blessings. When you put yourself walking, standing, or sitting around these type of associations, it is taking away your blessings. And the reason is it poisons you, and you become exactly like what you're sitting with. There is a term that I want to talk to you about. It's called the law of the group. The law of the group. And let me explain it to you real quick. Like, we associate with people that we see ourselves like. If I see myself as defeated, if I see myself as victimized, if I see myself as a gossip, if I see myself as a person who is a poverty mentality, as a low life kind of a person, then this is the kind of person I will associate with. Now, the law of that is this, is that the law of this group now dictates my life. It rules my life. The law does. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. When you're in that mentality, what you have is a lawless life. You walk around and you just do anything. You'll do drugs. You'll be a drunk. You won't work. You live a life as a fool. You're gossiping. And that's the law that governs that group. That's the way you live your life. That's the law of that group. Now, on the other hand of the thing, on the other end of the spectrum, okay, now I see myself as a successful person. I see myself as a visionary. I see myself as somebody who wants to go on in life and accomplish some great things in life. So if I see myself like this, now that's the kind of person with which I associate. That's the kind of person I see myself like, so that's the kind of person I attract to and is attracted to me. And so now that law rules my life. The law of what? The law of success. I'm expected to be successful. I'm expected to be a moral person. In that group, that law that rules me is I'm expected to take care of my family. I'm expected to work. I'm expected to take care of my children. I'm expected to work hard at my marriage. I'm expected to be a person who is honored and taken, you know, and looked at well in society. It's a different kind of law. Now, I'm saying all of that to get to this point right here. You see, this should be a wake-up call for a lot of us. Because if you want to know what your future is going to be like, if you want to know what 1 year, 5 years, 10 years down the road for you looks like, look at your friends. That is what you will be. That is what your future is going to hold for you. If there's nobody in your circle that's successful and going on in life, you're not either. And you may think you can avoid it and it won't get you, but it will. And if you hook up with the right kind of people, you're going to be with the right kind of life. You're going to have a wise life. And if you're hanging around with people and they're negative and they're unhappy and they're down, that's not a good sign. Or if you're associating with friends who are lazy or angry or critical and gossips, that's not a good sign. If you're running with people who run in this self-pity, they're drunks, they're addicted to drugs, you're running with these kinds of people that are people that you really, you know it's going wrong, that's not a good sign of your future. And don't think it won't get you. It will destroy you. You are living with a foolish anticipation of life. You're wise when you walk with the wise. You're a fool when you walk with fools. Listen, successful people associate with successful people. Happy people associate with happy people. It's that simple. Now, I was doing my research, as I always do, surfing the net and, you know, and reading books and all the things that I have. And I found this amazing article, and I have it referenced for you in your notes. And I really hope that maybe you'll go home and crank up the computer and get online and read this whole article, the whole 5 minutes it will take you to do it. And I think it'll help give you some insight. But I found out that Henry Ford, Thomas Edison, President Warren Harding, and Harvey Firestone were all close friends. They were associations together. They were so close that they would go off and leave everything and just go off in like a wilderness situation and go camping together just so they could be together. Now, for some of you who don't know who these people are, let me run through it real fast. Henry Ford was one of the richest men in the whole world. Now, of course, Ford Motors and all of that. But what he really brought into society was the assembly line. The assembly line made, first of all, the automobile very affordable for us. The automobile would cost 10 times more than it costs now without the assembly line. And Henry Ford brought that. So how many of you came today to church in an automobile? Okay, well, you can relate that back to him. He made it affordable for us. And he was one of the richest people in the whole world. All right, Thomas Edison, I think that we all know Thomas Edison, light bulb, right? He's the guy that fixed that thing. But he was one of the most innovative inventors in the whole world that's ever lived. He had 1,097 patented inventions. That's amazing. But the light thing was not his main part what he really did, probably one of the major things that he really did for us, is get it so that we could all have electricity in our homes. He was a motivator in that. He's the guy who started generating it at dams and building dams so that we could pump in electricity to our homes or to our buildings, or I don't even have to have a building. Just stick a pole out there and hook a wire to it, and you got electricity. And he was innovative like that. But, of course, he also invented the phonograph. And maybe that's we can relate back to our CD players or our DVD players. Also, he did the telegraph. Maybe we can relate back to the cell phones that we have now. So even this day, all of us are being affected by these men. Warren Harding was the 29th president. He was a political genius. He was the 29th president of the United States. And he holds the record for a landslide election. He was a Republican from Ohio, and he had a landslide election. He was brilliant. And then, of course, you have Harvey Firestone, rubber. Okay, he began to do rubber on horse carts. You know, he would put rubber on wheels for horse-drawn carriages and so forth. And then he and Henry Ford hooked up, and so now they've got. How many of you got rubber on your cars, on your tires, right? See, all of these people changed our lives. Every single one of them. And what I'm trying to... These are brilliant minds, and they were brilliant because they associated together. They come together. How could you get in that circle of people and not become brilliant? How could you get in that circle of people and not become inventive? How could you get into that circle of people and not become wealthy? How could you get in that circle of people and not do well in life? You see, they hooked up together. And as brilliant as they would have been individually, their coming together made them even more brilliant. And so my point is this, who are you hooking up with? They can make you brilliant or they can make you foolish. Reading that article, Henry Ford and Thomas Edison became extremely close friends. And Edison was older than was Ford and maybe even the other guys. But his health began to fail him, Edison's did. And so he moved to Florida for a warmer climate. And so he was there, and one of the last things that he publicly said was this. Speaking of Ford, He says, I can only say that in the fullest meaning of the term, he is my friend. What I want to say to you at this point is, in the fullest meaning of the term, who is your friend? And it's so important that you see this, because that is your future. That is your mirror. That is where you're going. 1 year, 5 years, 10 years from now, where you end up is going to be directly associated with your friends. Those men, they didn't spend a lot of time with negative people. They didn't spend time with victimized, down, gossiping people. They stayed around visionaries. And what I want to say to this is, if you need to hook up with people who have a bigger vision than you, who are going someplace that you've not yet even thought about, because they will take you with them. Every person is contagious. Every person. Successful people or unsuccessful people. We understand that in the natural. You get around sick people, what happens? You get sick. But it's the same thing in the spiritual. But when you get around contagious people of vision, contagious people that are wanting to do something with their lives, you get around that, it gets on you. And you go someplace. Elijah was a man. He was one of these guys. His mind, he had this mind. He was a deep thinker. Elijah did stuff that no other prophet ever thought about doing. I mean, Elijah thought about calling down fire from heaven. He said, okay, it's not going to rain again until I say so. He was this thinker. He did things that no one else did. He was the powerful prophet of God. Elisha, who is Elijah's successor, was just a farm boy. All he did was follow oxen around, plowing. And one day, Elijah came by Elisha. And Elijah kind of flipped his mantle on him, gave him a little attention. And Elisha said, whoa, man, I want to change my life. I want to be that. That's what I want. That's the vision that I want to have. I want to be what this guy is. And let me read you this. It's in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 21. It says, so Elisha took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. And he burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people. And they ate. Then he said, bye. Bye. He disassociated with, and there's nothing wrong with farmers, so don't mishear what I'm about to try to say. But he disassociated with that so that he could associate with what he wanted. Bye. He burned his bridges. He said bye. And then it says, then he set out to follow Elijah and became his attendant. Elisha said, this is what I want. I am going to go with this. I want to stay with him. I want to see how he handles tough situations. I want to learn how he handles people. I want to learn how he handles this situation or that situation. I want to learn how he thinks. I want to see how he handles money. I want to learn how he handles life. And so this is how it went for years, day in and day out, sun up and sun down. Elijah was followed by Elisha. And Elijah, and if you read the whole story, Elijah seemed to have gotten tired of that. I mean, there's two or three times that Elijah tells Elisha, you just stay here. I'm going to go down here. I'll come back in a couple of weeks and I'll pick you back up again. But right now, well, you just... And Elisha had nothing to do with that. Let me show you. This is just one of those, 2 Kings 2:2. Elijah said to Elisha, stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elisha said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. You stay here, Elisha. Elisha says, no way, Jack. Ain't going to happen. As long as there's a God in heaven and as long as you're alive, I'm following you. You're not getting rid of me. Now, how would you do if Elijah told you, leave me alone? You know, how would you feel? Wouldn't you get your little feelings hurt? Huh? We would, wouldn't we? Think about that. Well, just be full of yourself then. I don't need you. Oh, you do. You do need Him. But see, we let our little feelings, oh no. No, you got to press in. You got to push in. You don't care whether He likes it or not. You got to want it. And then it finally came to the time, Elijah was much older than Elisha. And it came to the time for Elisha to go with the Lord. And he had been following with Elisha all these years. And finally he says, okay, dude, what do you want? And this is what it says. 2 Kings 2:9. Then when they had crossed, this was the Jordan, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me what can I do for you before I'm taken from you? Watch this. Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. I want a double portion of you. You're not getting it, I don't think. See, he says, I just don't want to be what you... I don't want to just do what you did. I want to do twice what you did. I don't want to just stop where you stopped. I want to go on further than you. And you see, I want us to get this. I said, man, I want to go on. We'll settle sometimes. No, no, no. If we do it correctly and we press in, then what God's going to do for us is give us a double portion. We're going to be more than successful. And when you associate with the right people, that's what happens. He enlarges your vision. Elisha says, I want a double portion. There's nothing in there with a farm boy mentality, is there? There's nothing in there that says, Elisha says, I want to go back to my plows. No, no, no. I want to do twice what you did. And when we get around people with a big vision, we get a big vision. And I want us to really get this. You and I sometimes I'll preach a pretty good lesson or something, you know. And people will get excited. And so they'll call me or call her. And say, we want to do something. We got stirred. That was so good today, Pastor. You know, I want to do this and I want to do that. And boy, we encourage. Yes, you go for it. We'll hook you up with the right people. We'll do all we can to make it happen. And then we don't hear anything. And what normally happens is that people get around the negative influences. And they will stay down again until I do another good lesson. Stay with Elijah. Stay away from the negative influences. Elijah's response was also interesting to Elisha when he said, I want a double portion. Read that to you, 2 Kings 2:10. It says, you have asked a difficult thing. It's not easy to be successful. It's not easy to push in. You've asked for a difficult thing, Elijah replied. If you see me when I'm taken from you, then you will get your request. But now get this. But if not, then you won't. Elisha, if you'll stick with me, if you'll be there all the time, then you're going to have the life you want. You're going to have the success that you really want. How many know how many miracles Elisha did compared to Elijah? Anybody? Double. Double portion. Exactly twice as many miracles were done by Elisha than by Elijah. He got the life he wanted. He got the success he wanted. He got the fulfillment that he wanted from life because he did it. He did it right, and he pushed in. And that's the only way it's ever going to happen to any of us. I encourage you today to stop hanging around with people who have no vision. People that aren't going anywhere. You really need to stay away from sad, defeated, victimized type people. Gossips and those kinds of folks, they're going to take your blessings from you. You need to stay away from them. They're contagious. And though you think you won't get it, you can't help but get it. One germ will mess your life up. And I'm not saying not to minister to these people. I'm trying to balance, okay? I'm not saying because because we're called to minister to them. So it's not that you totally avoid them. My emphasis today is being careful how much time you do spend with them. You know, you've heard of the guy who said, I'm going to go to the strip joint and witness to my buddies. I laugh too. I said, no, you're not. If you're married and you go to a single bar, what's eventually going to happen to you? You're going to be single. And they think the law of the group won't get them. No. You hang out with that, it's going to get you. And you know, none of us have an intention to run around on our husband or our wife. None of us have intentions to do drugs. None of us have intentions to be alcoholics. None of us have intentions to be lazy. But if you get around people that aren't that way, you will. But hear me, if you don't, you won't. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says this, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. People are what corrupts your character. If you keep away from bad company, you'll keep a good character. It will happen. Listen, if you play with fire, what's going to happen? You're going to get burned. You walk along a river long enough, what's going to happen? You're going to slip in. You hang around with bees, what's going to happen? You're going to get stung, right? You go in a barber shop and sit there long enough, you will get a haircut. It's going to happen. If you scratch around with chickens, you'll never get to soar with eagles. People ask me, why can't I catch a break? Why does everything go bad for me? Hello! Now, I realize that we can't always stay away. You know, some of you are married to the most negative people you've ever met. Yeah, I know. Some of you have to work next to the most negative person in the whole world. And God will give you grace and give you wisdom. And He'll even use that, if you do it correctly, to bring them into the kingdom of God. They're going to watch you. But my emphasis today is trying to get us to see that when we do have the opportunity, then let's avoid that. Don't hang out with it when we can avoid it. And some of you really need to make the choice today. You really need to make decisions. For some of you on the phone every day, talking for hours with people that you've talked to for years about the same thing. They want to talk to you about their horrible husband or their wacky wife or their sensitive situations. And you've talked to them for years. And I want to ask you, just to get you on the plane with me. How's it gone? Have you helped them? Have they changed? Help me, oh, you can't. Have you helped them? Has anything changed? Usually not. So it's not doing them any good, and it's not doing you any good. And so why do you want to do it? Because if you go, one day you're going to be just having an argument with your spouse, and you're going to be on the phone with this person. They're going to be telling you how bad their spouse is. And it's going to get you, and you're going to catch yourself. Well, you think that was bad. Girlfriend, let me tell you about my husband. Moses sent 12 spies into the land. You know the story. Moses brought them out of Egypt, brought them to the promised land, sent 12 spies in. Now, 10 of these guys hooked up together, and 2 of these guys stayed separate. Joshua and Caleb stayed separate. 40 days later, they came back to give their reports. You know the story. 10 of those guys came back with a negative, defeated, victimized mentality. Take us back to Egypt. This is not good. If we go in there, they're going to kill us. They're going to kill our wives. They're going to kill our children. There are giants in the land. Man, we're nothing but grasshoppers to them. There are walled cities. They're going to wipe us out. 2 came back. Joshua and Caleb came back with a positive report. Oh, no. Yeah, there are big cities. There are big people in there. But listen, we're well able. Our God is well able. We're more than conquerors. We can do all things through Christ. Greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. Listen, we can do this. But who, to whom did the people listen? And you will too. If you don't get it in your head, no. Scholars say there was 2 million of those. Men and women and children. 2 million people lost the future that God had for them because of 10 people. 10 people kept a whole generation from experiencing what God had for them. It doesn't take much, folk. And if you look around in your life right now, you count out 12 people. Here's what you'll find. 10 of them are going to stop you, and you'll never go any further. 2 of them will take you in. You need to hook up with the 2 and allow them to do what God has for you. There's always the 10 and 2 principle. We all have it in our lives. Our job, our goal is to find the two people that God brings to us, who, if we'll listen to them, will take us in. And you got to be careful with your friends. Even if they're close friends and been with you for a while, they can still get negative. Jesus is walking one day with his buddies and the guys, you know, that were with him, and Jesus has vision. Jesus knows where he wants to go in life. And Peter says, "Not so, Lord." They go, "What's that? That's not, no, we're not going to do that." And the Bible says that he actually got in Jesus' face. What did Jesus do? "Get behind me, Satan." You savor the things of men and not the things of God. You have people in your life that savor the things of men. And you have people in your life that savor the things of God. That's what you're after. You have got to come to a place of reality. Who are your friends? In the deepest meaning of the term, who are your friends? Because that is your future. You have got to find the Elijahs. You've got to find those that will take you. You've got to find the Joshuas. You've got to find the Calebs. You've got to find the Henry Fords and the Thomas Edisons. You've got to find people that are vision and going on in life. Because if you don't, you'll live the life of a fool and you'll waste the most precious thing you can possibly have. With whom you associate is one of the most profound things you'll ever learn in life. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, you always challenge us. You cause us to look and you cause us to evaluate and you make us look in a mirror. And you cause us to really see who we really are. But yet, Lord, at the same time, you show us what you have for us. If we'll just do it your way. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, and you would say, "Delbert, you know what? I am where I am because of people, and I haven't gotten to where I want to go because of people. And right now in my life, it's both and. There are some people that I've got to sort of break off from, and there are some other folks that I really want to drive myself to." If that's you, and this is spoken to you, would you raise your hand and just say, "Lord, help me." I see your hands. Hands everywhere. Father, thank you. Lord, these people are acknowledging this truth, the profoundness of associations. So, Father, I pray today that every person here hears this. And the Lord, we go out of here changed, looking to see where we're going by looking at our friends. Head still bowed and eyes still closed. Now, maybe you know you're not where you need to be with the Lord. And it's because of people. People will stop you from being where you need to be with God. Your associations will cause you, take you down to hell. And you need to break it off. And you need to get right with God. And you know it. And right now the Lord's challenging you and you sense Him in your spirit and you know this is God. And you're ready to make that decision. You're ready to make that dedication to Him. Maybe you knew the Lord and you got away from Him because of people. Maybe you've never come to the Lord because of people. But today you're saying to the Lord, "Lord, I'm ready."